Gal Pals Watch.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we usually discuss a movie that we've decided to watch that involves queer women. But today is a very special episode.
Super special.
It's extremely special because we have the one and only Mandala Rose with us.
Hello.
Hi, Mandala.
I feel like I should always start with like, g'day, you know, being that it's Australian and stuff, but that's just so cliche. So, hello.
I like g'day too. That's a good g'day. Good phrase. Yeah.
Adding the mate might be a problem, but g'day is probably fine.
I'm not a fan of being called mate.
Yeah.
Noted.
Well, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we are here to basically talk to you about all the amazing things you have coming out. I'm sure people know who you are, but if you don't, Mandala is an actor. She's been in several films and many web series, many of which are forthcoming.
Yes.
So, yeah. The ones you can watch now, I believe the only ones you can watch now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you can watch All About E on Amazon.
You can.
And then Alice and Izza is on Telefilms. Yes. Are there other ones that you can watch right now?
That's a great question. No. Not yet. I got here at the end of March in 2016 and have been working my butt off since then, but nothing is out yet.
Well, soon there will be a flood of Mandala content and it will be amazing.
Well, yes. LGBTQ content is going to be fantastic. A couple of straight ones here and there.
Yeah, you got to keep your range.
I like that that's my go-to, though, is the fact that I have more queer content coming out than not, which is really wonderful.
Yeah, awesome. That's really cool.
I mean, we enjoy that. That
totally,
is fantastic for us, so thank you.
Well, <Yeah. cool. laughs>
So, if you can, tell us about some of your projects that are coming up.
Okay. Let's talk a little Biffle.
Because
So, Biffle, I'm not sure when it's coming out, but it's an LGBTQ comedy with a lot of drama. I play Sarah, they, them, their, ace lesbian. And I live in a house with three other housemates, Taylor, Jill, and Chloe, and also Ollie and Matt kind of live down the road, and they're over all the time. So it's kind of like a bit of a queer friends, I guess, with a lot of representation.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And
so
we were lucky enough to see the first episode. And just personally for me, I identify as an ace lesbian. I do use she, her pronouns, so I don't use they, them usually, but for me, it was like a huge deal to see an ace lesbian like portrayed in some kind of media because I've never seen that before. And so I personally just really love that.
Sarah is wonderful because they, I think, are a first of their kind, that is being represented. I mean, that I'm aware of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but a non-binary ace lesbian, like that's a pretty wonderful trifecta.
Yeah, I agree.
In just representation of one character, and that's only one character in Biffle. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. And then, so that's Biffle. We'll get back to that if you have any questions. And also,
totally.
I'm super stoked to be representing, and hope that I do a very good job, and always open to hearing more information so that I can make the representation more true to form, and hope that people see themselves in Sarah and other characters that I play as well. So, yeah, you let me know what more I can do. Passage is a sci-fi.
That's a web series.
That is a web series written by Hillary. I always stumble on her last name, and I'm doing it now.
It's okay.
I think it's because I don't want to say it incorrect, which is funny with a name like Mandala. Hillary. Hillary is the creator of it, and she has created this phenomenal world. and it's a huge world as well. It goes very deep. I play Agent Diana Atwell. I'm a techie nerd, like, and I am the tech to Shannon Lee Reeves, Agent Ali Prater, level 3 Kalis agent. And I know that that's all words to you.
Yes.
All.
Yes. Yes. All.
But it's super exciting because it's more queer content and it's sci-fi queer content.
Yes.
And I'm excited for that one to come out as well. Were you there? Did you get to see the Friday night at Klexicon, the movie night?
No, I didn't. My Klexicon was a little weird. I missed a lot of things, but
that's
so you two connected at Klexicon.
Yeah, we met at Klexicon last year, I think.
Yes.
And then we were both there this year too.
Awesome. What were you representing, Mandala, or why were you there for? What were you there for?
Well, Biffle and Biffle. Passage, probably. Right?
Yeah.
Biffle and Passage and Alice and Izza as well,
nice.
Which was. And a number of there for a number of podcasts as well. But on the Friday night, we had the two the movie film festival opened with the first two episodes of Passage.
Nice.
So people see that. And you find out. I mean, you got to because Nicole Payson is in it as well and plays
yes.
Agent Ali Prater's wife, Kate. And so you get to find out what their relationship is and then Diana coming into it and gosh darn, she is so fucking nerdy. It is, it's really wonderful to bring a nerdy character to life because it's the first time I've done it. And actually Passage was the first time I got my hands into comedy and then Biffle being my second, so that's exciting. Okay, what else? I just got back from New York to shooting Venice by Crystal Chappelle. And this is season 6. I play Zoe Nadal, who is a social media guru and bumps into her ex-girlfriend, who is the daughter of boss's wife. I mentioned that it's a bit of a soap.
Well, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was, you know, created by two soap actresses, correct?
Exactly.
Oh, wait,
and
exactly.
I forget exactly which soap opera, but they were essentially their characters were written off for.
Oh my gosh!
After a gay storyline.
It was Otalia.
Otalia. Yes, that was her ship name.
Oh.
Yes. So it was Crystal Chappelle and Jessica.
Oh, Crystal Chappelle, yeah, she's cool.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, I was so nervous going down to shoot 4 days with them because I had heard that soap stars are a completely different breed, that they're so on the ball, that they learn hundreds of pages like of lines, and I went a bowl of major anxiety. Terrified, and it was so much fun. The last day we shot, I don't know, like usually an average shoot day is maybe about 9 to 10 pages, I think, and sometimes that's even the top of the you know, a lot in one day. On our last day we shot like 16 pages.
Whoa.
It was phenomenal, and just working with actors like that, it was such a wonderful experience. I went home on such a huge high, and also just, you know, realizing, yep, I'm definitely on the right path. So sometimes it's nice to be put back on there again.
That's wonderful.
That's really cool.
It's really cool. I could tell you more stuff that I'm in, but there are lots and lots.
Which is fantastic. I'm so glad that you're in so many things and that there's such a diverse range of characters that you're getting to play. That's really cool.
It's very cool. It is very exciting. And, you know, I've got like more things. We're shooting Butch Power for the Straight Gal. I think end of August, September. Have you heard of Butch Power?
No, but
I think I have.
I'm already sold on it.
Yeah. This is amazing.
It's Bush, I mean, just Bush Power for the Straight Gal is five lesbians who, it's like a Queer Eye, but
Yeah.
lesbians.
That's all
Hell
I
yeah.
want in life.
That's all
It's Ali Johnson is the creator, and Lauren Flans from coming out with Lauren and Nicole is also in it. And we actually have a chemistry read on the 17th to try and find our fifth member.
Oh, that's
Ooh.
exciting.
That's
So
can
is
I
there? Oh, go ahead. Yes, go.
No, I was just gonna tell you what we're called, what the five of us are called, because I think we
Yes.
should. We're called, I'm really sorry. We're called the Fish Five.
Oh my gosh. That's going on t-shirts. Oh yeah, for sure. I'll buy that t-shirt. That's
Yeah.
amazing.
That's amazing.
So is this also a web series?
We're actually going to shoot it as a pilot series, as a
Oh,
pilot
that's
show, I
cool.
believe, and then hopefully from there it can go to, I'm not sure what distribution happens,
Yeah.
but hopefully.
There's lots of options. I hope that it gets picked up, by like Netflix or Hulu or something like that. I think that would be really awesome.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
We need our own representation of a Queer Eye out there.
Yeah, for sure.
We're all stereotypes for a reason.
I know. Sometimes it's fun just to like embrace the stereotypes.
So I have a question. Now that you've done
Backwards.
Oh, so now that you've done TV and film, which one do you prefer more, if any?
Yeah.
Ooh. I love I've always loved film, and I think it's probably because I hadn't had a lot of I mean, I'd done some web series, but not continual ones like Passage or Biffle will be. I think what I am excited and also fearful at the same time about being in a web series like Biffle is I get to play again as Sarah and with the house. And that is exciting to be able to learn more about why Sarah is, and when they first realized that they wanted to be non-binary, or when they first realized that they were ace, and what was that like to them, and what experiences of, like, I love the idea of being able to be in her mind more and get to know more of that story. But there is that fear, that what happens if I can't get back into that? What happens if season two, like, I can't find Sarah again? So I think I'm excited, and because I haven't done a season two yet of something, where I do get to, where I get a long time off and then get to go back into that character, I'm not sure how it's going to. I'm sure it'll be, but there is that fear. Whereas
Yeah.
the feature film, I love because sometimes, like For the Love of Jesse, which I shot with a wonderful Adrienne Barbeau. If you've not heard of her, she was one of the original Scream Queens. Can you
Oh,
hear
wonderful.
that?
Oh, hello, cat.
And so we ended up going to Wickenburg, which is about an hour northwest of Phoenix in Arizona. And we were, the entire crew were there for 3 weeks, and we had the casitas, and we all had our own rooms, and we became like a real family. And I love the idea of being able to have that experience, but then it's over at the end of the 3 weeks, and you don't see them again except for maybe red carpet or something, screening like that. So I love the idea of being able to go back into a web series and seeing my family again. They're both very different. I like them both for different reasons. And it will be interesting to see when I do get back into Diana or Sarah, how I go about getting right back into that, and if I do have that fear or struggle. But I think I'll be all right.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. I didn't necessarily think of that, obviously, because I'm not an actor, but it's
Right.
like, yeah, the fear of potentially forgetting what it was like and like getting that vibe and that groove back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see why you would be a little nervous about
Yeah.
that.
But I also think it is cool, like you were saying, like in a way, both experiences are really immersive, just in a different way, where it's like really concentrated with a movie. And then it's just more prolonged with the series. And it's cool that, like, with a series, because you have more time, there's more area for you to, like, explore your character and get to know them a little bit better.
Exactly. Yes.
That's really cool.
I just want to say I loved Biffle so much.
Me too.
I'm so excited for new episodes.
I know, I think, I can't wait. I was so bummed that it was just the first one. I was like, no, I want more.
I think I'll keep rewatching that one. I'm just so impressed by how easy it felt just being dropped into this group of friends. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind that these people are friends.
Yeah.
Like,
really good chemistry between everyone.
Yeah, great chemistry. So good job, guys. and one of the things that I really liked was, you know, how many different people there are in this in terms
different
of
identities.
Yeah, identity, race, sexual orientation, mm-hmm. all of that. And it's interesting because usually, you know, you might have some exposition and dialogue to out someone, so to speak. But in the series, it's more of a here's a, you know, on the screen, here are their pronouns, here's their identity, so on and so forth.
That's great. It's straight into, you meet them straight away. You get to know exactly how they identify, what their preferred pronouns are. Like, it's. I remember when we first watched it, I was lucky enough to see all six. And when I first watched it and just seeing the first episode and seeing their names flash up and how exciting it was to meet these characters for the first time and knowing that this is the first of its kind. Mm-hmm. And that is so exciting. And you know what? The chemistry was fantastic between us all. We all had an absolute blast. The set was always... being on set is my happiest place. Like, I am the happiest person that I can possibly imagine when I'm on set, to the point where I actually ask if I can be picked up and left on set before my time so that I can meet people and I can, you know, see what the vibe is like and I get to be a part of it, because it's just, especially recently, I've been thinking recently about my work and what I've been a part of and how damn lucky I am and privileged I have that the work I have worked on has been with individuals who really care about the project and also who really care about who is working on it. And most of the time it's women first and POC first and queer as well. And you know, when I get to a set and they have badges with preferred pronouns on there, it's like I feel so lucky that this is happening, especially in the world that we when there is so much hate and so much poison against us all. It's just really wonderful to be in this industry, in this part of it, and seeing that things are starting to change. It might not be overnight, but it's starting to change and it's very exciting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, and you're a part of that.
Yeah, so which is very cool. kind of along those lines, a lot of what we talk about on the podcast is representation, and we kind of talk about movies and how good or bad of a job they do, especially some of the older ones. Like, they don't do the greatest job with representation. But I was just wondering, like, where you feel like you first saw yourself represented, either in, like, TV or movies or even books or anything like that.
Yeah, when you sent this question actually in the email, I sat on it for a little bit and, you know, have been thinking about it. It's an interesting thing for me to think about, because I don't think there was ever a time when I watched something on TV and I thought, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't think there is anything, and I don't know what that means. I mean, I didn't come out until I was 26, and it was that whole I kissed a girl and my entire universe just snapped open. And prior to that kiss, I didn't think that I was at all queer. I didn't think that I was, that being into girls or liking girls or being, you know, having that feeling for women was actually even, it wasn't even a thought in my head until I kissed her. And then that night I broke up with my boyfriend and moved out. And he and I had been together for 7 years. Wow. So it was like I my universe completely snapped open. I realized this is who I am. I can't keep living this lie with him because it's completely unfair on him. And I broke up with him. Moved out within a week. And I guess since then I've just followed this path of whatever I'm on, and that is, yeah, I like women. Have I seen myself represented in movies or on TV? I don't think I've seen that for myself. And like I said, I don't know what that means. But it's nice to know that there's representation, that people are seeing it for themselves out there. I think more than anything, I am grateful that there is representation out there. And even if I may have not seen myself represented, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I was asked this question the other day by my my best friends I will call my best mates, but that's more of a love. it's when a male Aussie looks at me, he's like, "How you going, mate?" And I'm like, "Fuck off."
Yeah.
Don't even. But my best mate, she's not Australian, she's actually from Seattle. She asked me if I have ever had crushes on characters. Like, have I ever had a crush on a character? Like a serious crush. And I thought about it and I'm like, no. I haven't. Like, I remember crushing on Cher from Clueless when I was younger, but that was because I just wanted to be like her and be cool. And but it wasn't like a love crush. And I wonder if that's because of just, I don't know. But no, it's the same thing when it comes to TV. And maybe it's because I don't know, maybe. I mean, I'm answering this question in a really long roundabout way of saying, no, I haven't seen myself represented, but I'm not at all concerned by that because I know that maybe I mean, here's the other thing. I get cast a lot as my own stereotype. So you look at Alice and Izza and those clothes that Izza is wearing, they're all mine. My belt that I'm wearing right now was first seen in All About E, and it's been pretty much in everything else since. So maybe I see my own representation in myself.
You made it. You made your own representation. Yeah. Well, I really like that answer. It's a really honest answer. And I think, you know, there, as much as representation is broadening and increasing, there still isn't enough, obviously.
Yeah.
I like that answer a lot because I'm not sure, maybe actually with your character, Sarah, but my name's also Sarah, so there's that. but that might be the first time where I kind of feel like at least that aspect of my identity has been represented anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still more work to do, but you're doing it.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you don't see it somewhere, you're going to make it yourself because it's important to have that out there.
Totally.
And for, you know, think of all like the little baby gays that have watched All About E and they're like, oh, that's me.
Yeah. No. I have to say, not to like, hopefully this doesn't embarrass you or anything, but I think All About E has one of the best lesbian sex scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you. I think it is completely, yeah, I think it's a little underrated. I think
totally.
It is a very beautiful sex scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it goes for like 2.5 minutes. It is funny when people, you know, when people when I do meet people who are fans of All About E and you know, and they're like, it's so wonderful, and I'm like, yep, you're seeing that sex scene.
Like, that's why you think that.
Completely cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of the job, I guess.
It is part of the job. And, you know, again, how lucky am I to be able to be, I'm very particular. Obviously, I'm not going to get my kid off for work that I don't think that having my kid off for is granted. When it comes to something like All About E or content out there where a sex scene is not gratuitous and where a sex scene is actually needed for the story arc, and also, you know, a director I worked with for on Forever Not Maybe, which should be coming out this year, actually. So that's why I moved to LA for the first time. I know, we've been waiting for 3 years.
Yeah.
it will come out. She always said we need to do it for the kids, as in the audience, because we want to be able to see ourselves represented. And the problem, I watched this movie on Netflix called The Perfection, and I didn't expect it to, I didn't know that it was queer, but two women are in it, and they have this sex scene or this love scene in it, and they're both playing the cello at the same time, and it goes into the sex scene as well, and it's really beautiful. But it, the sex scene kind of felt, made me feel a little bit like, oh, this is a little too choreographed. Like, this is a little not quite real. And I looked up and the director was the guy. And I think it is so important. Like I said, I'm not going to do a sex scene if it's gratuitous. And usually if it's a guy director and I've read the script, I will be like, I will question it because I'm not going to get my kid off. Yeah. But for something like All About E, when you're talking about a love story, and there are so many heterosexual sex scenes out there just for the fun of it because, you know, men.
Because men.
But yeah. All About E, it's a story about love. And that sex scene was so crucial, and it needed to be as sensual and as caring and as loving as what is shown, because they haven't been in each other's arms for like a year and they were completely in love. And it shows. So I'm not scared to shy away from sex scenes if it's going to bring that next layer and an element to the story and the characters themselves. So I'm really glad you like that. Yeah. It was actually interesting that Brett, who plays my best friend Matt in it, helped us choreograph.
He helped us
choreograph the sex scene because a shy guy over here would start giggling. I'd start giggling my head off whenever Julie would go in for the kiss, or I just lose it. And Louise was also a little shy as well. So Brett stood in and helped us. It was very fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a really great story. I love that.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Well, whatever you did, when we
shot that sex scene, it was the first day of arriving in Trundle, which is like along the Bogan Way in the outback of Australia. I sounded super Aussie then. And it was the first day we rocked up. It was about 115 degrees.
I was going to ask you, that whole movie looks hot.
So hot. It was boiling. That day was 115. And I have a tattoo that goes from the base of my skull to the top of my sacrum. But the tattoo was, it's not E-style. So we had to get rid of it. Getting made. I had like an hour and a half put aside to get makeup on. So that was happening in the house. And when we shot, we couldn't have the air conditioning on. It was also a closed set. So we only had like maybe six people on set. We had we had muff patches.
Yes.
So we literally had muff patches that were stuck to us and went right up our crack as well. And it was a 4-hour sex scene. So have fun if you needed to pee. So 115 degrees, and we had to do – so we had this choreographed beforehand, and the makeup is melting off my back. And also white – white bed sheets, so it's also not really melting off my back, but also on the sheets below us. And the biggest thing that happened was the reason why we had to shoot that day was our focus puller, Toby Watson, was chosen specifically because his focus pulling. So focus pulling is like, do you know what I mean when I say that? For the people who don't know. For the people who don't, a camera is like, you know, that the when you pull focus, as in you go to get focus so you can zoom it out and then you can focus on, let's just say I'm looking at a tree branch over there. If I can focus that, you get the right distance so you can get crystal clear image with no blur. It takes a skill because these guys, especially, you have someone, Justine Kerrigan of our DP, she was shooting it and the camera moves and then the focus puller has a uses a different thing, like has their own instrument to actually pull focus, and they have to hit their mark. Our focus puller, Toby, ended up having to be rushed to the hospital the day before because something happened to his focus pulling hand, mind you, and he couldn't pull focus. So we had to improvise. And, of course, like I said, the sex scene is super important in this film. So we had Bam. He is just learning the ropes, helping with lighting and, you know, putting the marks down with tape. He ended up jumping into focus pulling for that scene, and he's also this beautiful Armenian man who is super shy as well, so he was watching these two very naked ladies and it's not his job and he's got so much pressure. So that was that sex scene. That's the behind that no one gets to know about. That film almost didn't get made in so many ways, so it's really lucky that it's out there.
Yes.
That's incredible. What a story.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that it exists. Yeah, especially after that story. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. The work that goes into it, that's really incredible.
So our time is running out.
Yes, unfortunately, we only have this space for a limited
a little
amount
bit
of time.
But I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. So because we were able to see Biffle and Sarah is such an awesome character, I was thinking, if you had to, I guess, use a song to describe her, what would it be? Or describe them, I should say. Sorry.
Describe them. Sarah is a pocket rocket, an angry little pocket rocket. I have yet to discover why they're so angry, and I'm super looking forward to to knowing why. Also, the fact that Sarah is Australian, pocket rocket. What Australian song can I possibly think about that would be? I come from a land down under. And also Vegemite. They do say you're the best. I did actually, when you asked me that question, the first song I thought about was Tina Turner's You're Simply the Best.
Ooh.
So I'm gonna go with my first instinct and say Tina Turner's You're Simply. Is that Tina Turner?
I think so.
Yeah, I
think so.
Doubt yourself.
Yeah. That's a fantastic choice. I love that.
So a lot of things happen. Doubting brand. Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, it's so nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me. Did you talk about All About E last year?
We did.
Did I reply to that?
Yes.
Because I listened to the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, the plot holes, it's so right about that. And Johnny, fuck, yeah, right, it's all right. That was wonderful.
But, I mean, we still love the movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry for running late and that cut us short, but
that's all right.
Here for any questions you ever need.
Thank you. Wonderful. And hopefully we'll see you next year at Klexicon or some other place. you're ever like in Seattle, hit us up.
Absolutely.
I love Seattle. Seattle is where I first saw snow for the first time last year at Christmas.
Oh, you know what? I saw that on your Instagram story. I remember that now.
That's so sweet.
Which is also funny because it doesn't usually snow here that much.
No.
But it did this
time. The last year was nuts.
They said that it hasn't snowed in Seattle on New Year's Eve for like 10 years, for over a decade. And there am I wandering through the streets of Seattle like at 1 a.m. with snow falling on my face. And I'm doing that romantic thing of walking down the street with my mouth open, having like snow flakes on my tongue. It was the most beautiful, incredible experience. And like, instead of doing, when I went to Snoqualmie, instead of doing the snow angel on my back, I landed face first in the snow and did it that way.
That works too.
Perfect. Yeah. Snoqualmie is beautiful.
It is
perfect,
beautiful.
Perfect place to do a face plant into the snow.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Yes. Thanks so much, Mandala.
Thank you so much for having me.